years, we've learned a lot about the Haggadah. I was actually just listening yesterday, today, to some of my older shiurim. I'm just like, what did I say in past years? To make sure we weren't going to say just repeats. And, you know, I think the lessons of last year, we had one shiur on Haggadah, one shiur about the night of Seder, the night of Tefillah. I'm not sure if they're on YU Torah, possibly on YU Torah. I could resend them to you if you want. I still think those are important shiurim that we learned together last year. But tonight, what I thought about was, instead of running through the whole Haggadah, just to pick one aspect of the Haggadah to really analyze and to really break it open. And what I wanted to start with was the very beginning of Maggid. There's no question that Maggid is the heart of the Seder. We know that Maggid, the early stage of the Seder, is the telling over of the story. It also encompasses aspects of Halal v'Hodah, of giving thanks to God. The end of Maggid leads directly in to Halal, to Shevach v'Hodah, to praise to Hashem. And of course, within Maggid itself, we also use props. We use props that basically are connected to all the mitzvahs of the night. We know that the second cup of wine is poured towards the beginning of Maggid, and some actually have a custom of holding the second cup almost the entire Maggid. Some have a custom to show that the second cup of the Arba Kosos is really over the mitzvah of Maggid. It's really connected to this mitzvah. The Zohar talks glowingly about what happens in Shemayim as the Jews say Maggid, that brings great nachas ruach, it brings great joy in heaven. It's a tremendous eis ratzon, it's a tremendous time of divine favor. That's one of the things we spoke about last year in our shiur on the Seder as a night of prayer. And therefore, I wanted to try and focus really on the very, very beginning of Maggid. Because the beginning of Maggid is a little bit strange. It's actually not a little bit. It's very, very strange. The beginning of Maggid, which is Halach Ma'anya, right? And if we understand Halach Ma'anya, I think it helps us understand a lot about the Seder and certainly about Maggid. And the first question we come to when we study Halach Ma'anya is, of course, what's the first question we come to? Why is it in Aramaic? Right, Manishtana, a paragraph hazem, you call it paragraphs, right? Why is this paragraph different than all other paragraphs? What's the only other thing that's in Aramaic at the Seder? For Ashkenazim, Chad Gadya, at the very end of the Seder, for Sephardim, nothing. Right, there's nothing else that's in Aramaic. Some people think Chasal Seder Pesach, Chasal Seder Pesach is in Lashon HaKodesh. So why is Halach Ma'anya in Aramaic? There are approaches, my brother in his Haggadah brings down of the Ritva, for example, very historical, very straightforward approaches, that whereas the Haggadah itself was probably developed during most of the Haggadah during the Mishnaic period, when the Tanoim lived in Israel, this part of Maggid, the Ritva writes, was added on by the Amoraim. This was after the major Jewish community had moved to, in terms of Jewish scholarship, to Bavel, Talmud Bavli. There were, of course, still schools in Eretz Yisrael, but the major Gemara we know is, of course, Talmud Bavli. And as such, this was added on by the later Amoraim that were in Bavel. That's the opinion of the Ritva. The Abarbanel has an interesting approach. He says that, as we'll see, what's the main focus of Halach Ma'anya, and this of itself is not necessarily a unanimous statement. Might be a statement that's quite controversial, but the Abarbanel suggests that the main statement in Halach Ma'anya, the center of it, is Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechel, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yifsach, that this is a real invitation. At the beginning of the Maggid section, there's an invitation, and as such, it uses the language that's the vernacular at the time. Again, arguing that it's not necessarily developed in different time periods, but Halach Ma'anya is really meant as that invitation. That's the key to it, and therefore it's spoken in the common language, and the common language was Aramaic. Of course, we like our prayers to be in Lashon HaKodesh, and in many ways, as we said last year, all of Maggid is a prayer, but this is an invitation, and hence it should be in Aramaic. There's a fascinating approach by the Abu Draham, one of the later Rishonim. The Abu Draham has, Barbanel is also obviously one of the late Rishonim, you know, living in Spain at the time of the expulsion. So obviously he was also on the cusp of the Rishon-Achron divide. But the Abu Draham, he wrote that, you know why this is in Aramaic? There are a couple of prayers that we have in Aramaic. Why are certain things in Aramaic? Because you know who doesn't understand Aramaic? The Malachim. The Malachim don't understand Aramaic. So why don't we want the Malachim to understand Halach Ma'anya, what we're about to do? So listen to the Abu Draham. This is such a wild pshat. The Abu Draham says that the reason why it's in Aramaic is because Maggid is so holy and it has such power that when we would start Maggid, the prosecuting angels in heaven would do what? Would start prosecuting us. Hashem, don't listen to them. They're not worthy of praising you. They're not worthy of recounting your miracles. And we started in Aramaic, according to Abu Draham, so the Malachim won't prosecute us and prevent us from fulfilling this chashuva mitzvah, this amazing, amazing mitzvah. So it's interesting, it was one of the later Achronim, the Birkas Avram says, but we switched to Hebrew right after. Like, I don't get it. The Malachim are going to miss out? So it's a very interesting teretz. It's brought in the Haggadah of the Talei Oros. He says a beautiful idea. He says that you know why it doesn't matter? Because the most difficult part of doing a mitzvah is to begin the mitzvah, is to start it. Once you've started, you have a special siyata d'shmaya, special help from heaven, to finish the mitzvah and to accomplish the mitzvah. When a person has such a great machshava tova, and he quotes the Nefesh HaChaim, that that's why even thoughts of doing mitzvahs are very chashuv, because even they are very much valued by Hashem. But he says here that what we have to recognize is that the beginning of the mitzvah is what the Yetzer Hara wants to try and prevent. You know, it's always the at least like for learning Torah, the Yetzer Hara just doesn't want you to sit down. Because once you sit down and start learning Torah, you're going to be able to continue learning Torah. Yetzer Hara didn't want you to come to the shir, right? Once you come to the shir, right, so you're here, we're learning Torah. Yetzer Hara can't affect us anymore. But that's an interesting pshat from the Birkas Avram, that the reason why, based on Abu Draham, that it starts in Aramaic, because it's so holy. We don't want the ketrugim, we don't want the prosecuting angels to hear and to stir up indictments, chas v'shalom, of the Jewish people on this night. So those are three different approaches as to why it's in Aramaic. When it starts, we start with Halach Ma'anya, Diachala Avasana Ba'arad Mitzrayim. This is the bread of Anya, Diachala Avasana, that our ancestors ate Ba'arad Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. So each one of those phrases actually is debated. What does Halach Ma'anya mean? What does it mean? Some say it means this is the bread of affliction. That's how it's classically understood. Others say Halach Ma'anya Lechem Oni means Lechem She'onna Lav Dvarim Harbei. This is the bread upon which we have a lot to say. Meaning that we're recognizing, according to the second pshat, Halach Ma'anya, this is Lechem She'onna Lav Dvarim Harbei, bread that we speak many words about. We're recognizing that this is the ultimate prop of the night. That this is Chag HaMatzos, that the matzah, which is of course Michla d'mehemenusa, it's the bread, it's the food of faith. When a person eats matzah, you're ingesting emuna, according to the Zohar and Kabbalistic sources. That's why we know it's very difficult for some to eat the shirim of matzah, certainly the larger shirim of matzah that people are accustomed to eating in the chumras of two kezaisim as opposed to one kezaias. But there are many tzaddikim, many people of great spiritual stature, that they really don't eat a lot during Erev Pesach, which is a halacha, so that on the night they'll eat a lot of matzah, that they'll be hungry for the matzah. And as they say in the vernacular, they'll pound the matzah, because the more matzah you pound, not the more pounds you put on, right? You know, They say that you don't gain calories, you don't gain weight on Shabbos. That's a lie, okay? Because I'll tell you that's not true. I can prove it to you. But there are those that suggest you don't gain weight from the matzah you eat at the Siddurim. So that I haven't been able to disprove. The matzah you eat at the Siddurim. Because it's pure. You disagree? You don't think that's true?
You don't want to. We're
not going to ask you. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, that I don't. I feel bad for you that you do. I'm feeling your pain there a little bit. But the idea that on Seder night, when we're eating matzah, because matzah is supposed to be a prop that we're supposed to talk a lot about, that it's supposed to be able to engage us. This is why we uncover the matzahs, we cover the matzahs at different times in Seder night. We lift them up, right?
We
put them down. And, you know, at the end of Maggid, we've mentioned this before, Ben Gamliel says, anyone who doesn't talk about three things, Lo Yotzei Dei Chavaso, and Pesach Matzah Maror. That, what does that mean, Lo Yotzei Dei Chavaso? We said it's Machlokis Rishonim. Some say it means that you're not Yotzei Maggid. You're not Yotzei Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim unless you talk about Matzah. It's that imperative, right? So that's Halach Ma'anya. Some say it's Lechem Sha'on Alav Dvarim Harbe. We're talking about this right here, that Halach Ma'anya is really a preface to the Seder. It's like, it's the prelude to the foreword, if you will, to the Seder. And that's what we're holding up right now. We're uncovering the matzahs for everyone to see. Halach Ma'anya, this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. And we say, Di'achalu Avasana Barat the Mitzrayim, that our ancestors ate in Egypt. When did our ancestors eat this in Egypt? So this is a big machlokas. Many say, at this point in the Seder, what are we talking about? We're talking about the matzah that the Jews ate as slaves. That this was slave food. And in fact, it's brought down in the Gutnik Chumash of the Lubavitcher Rebbe that the Ibn Ezra claims that he saw when he was in India, and that was mamish, the food they were giving slaves. They were giving slaves matzah. And it wasn't Pesach during the rest of the year. It's cheap, it's very filling, right? And there are those that suggest that the Achalav HaSanabar de Mitzray means that this is what they ate as slaves in Egypt. If so, that would support Halach Ma'anya, the first pshat. We said that this is the bread of what? Of affliction, of poor people, right? The Maharal vehemently disagrees. The Maharal says there is no source in Torah that the Jews ate matzah as slaves, meaning that this was the slave food of the Jews in Egypt. The Maharal vehemently disagrees. The Maharal says what this is talking about is the matzah that the Jews ate when they were leaving, right? The night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what he says it's talking about. And according to the Maharal, we only view the matzah in a positive sense. That really it's the bread that we're going to talk a lot about tonight, because tonight is redemption, and matzah to the Jew represents redemption. There are many, many disagree with the Maharal. And they say no, that really what we're talking about here is matzah as a food of poverty, as a food of the slaves. And they point out that later on in the Seder, when we in fact get to Rebbe Gamliel, Kol Shlomer Shlosh Advarim Elu, and we say matzah zu shanu ochel mal shumah, shum shalispik patek shum shalavsein lachmitz, ad shenigla le'amelech malchiyam lochem agadosh baruch hu golam, right, that this matzah, at the end of Maggid, we say that this matzah really is a function of what? Is a function of redemption, that this is matzah because the bread didn't have a chance, the dough didn't have a chance to rise, because Hashem redeemed himself to us to take us out right away, and we didn't have that chance, and that's the proof text. Vayofas abatzek asher otziu mimitzrayim ugos matzos, ki lo chametz ki garshu mimitzrayim v'leichlus mameya. The proof text we say is that the reason why they ate ugos matzos, loaves of matzos, is because they didn't have chance to rise. They didn't have chance to bake it as bread. So according to the Maharal, this is the reason. And in the beginning, we're referring to this as well, but most others disagree. So what two different pshatim and what matzah is? It's the bread of the slaves that we ate in poverty in Egypt, or is it a symbol of redemption? Which is it? And what's the right answer?
Both.
Exactly. It's both. It's both. We're all briskers on Seder night. There's two dinim to everything, two ways to look at everything, right? But many say, no, what are the two ways that we're supposed to look at things on Seder night? What does the Gemara tell us is one of the primary structures of Magid? Maschil b'genus u'mishsayim b'shvach. That we begin talking about the genus. We begin talking about the difficulties. We begin talking about how things are bad. And some say that's avadim hayinu, that we were slaves in a physical sense. Others say it's a spiritual sense when we talk about mitchila hayu over the avadazar hayavosenu, that our ancestors were originally idolaters, right? That we say such a thing. But here also, that even the matzah itself is maschil b'genus u'mishsayim b'shvach. Because the matzah that began as a source of denigration, was a symbol of slavery, became what? Became a symbol of freedom, became a symbol of redemption, right? And so some say that halach ma'anya, in fact, is beginning this structure of maschil b'genus u'mishsayim b'shvach in how we talk about matzah. Okay, and so right away, this is the matzah that we're going to speak about. This is the matzah pointing out to the past. It's a lesson in the past. And now we move, my brother points out in his Haggadah, we move into the present. The present is kol dichvin yesei v'yechal, kol ditrich yesei v'yifsach. Anyone who's hungry, come and eat. Anyone who needs, come and make Pesach. Right? What are we saying over here? We've discussed this again, at length in the past, fitting in with the pshat of karpas. That karpas, my favorite vart on the whole Seder, that karpas is really a reference to the ksones of Yosef, the ksones pasim, Yosef's coat of many colors, right? The kliyakar, we wear the kittel to fix the sin of Yosef, the sin of Yosef's coat. And very simply, many point out, we begin with an invitation here, because you know, we recognize the secret of Jewish redemption is what? The secret of Jewish redemption is being open to everyone, is inviting everyone into our home, inviting everyone into our home. It's a beautiful lesson that Rabbi Aaron Goldschreider brings down in his Haggadah, The Night That Unites, I think that's the name of it, The Night That Unites, the night that, yeah, which is appropriate for his Haggadah, this Vart, that later on in the Haggadah, very often, like the proof text we just said about Rabbi Gamliel, about matzah, how did we refer to Hashem? We refer to Hashem as what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And many times we refer to Hashem as HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Seder. Avadim hayinu l'far v'misram v'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu misham v'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch HaSavaseinu mimitzrayim, right? So we talk about Hashem, His name Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's one place where we use a very strange name of Hashem. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. And we've learned about this before. We've learned about this before, why we use Baruch HaMakom, this name of Hashem. There's a variety of reasons. But Rabbi Goldschreiter brings down a beautiful idea from Rav Soloveitchik that fits in with our Barvanel, that the key of Halach Ma'anya, the main thrust of Halach Ma'anya, is this part of Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, Kol Ditrich Yesev Yivsach. And what is that? That Baruch HaMakom, we refer to Hashem as Makom, the place, because what are we about to talk about if we talk about Baruch HaMakom? We're talking about Kineged Arba Banim Dibre Torah. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shein Yodei Lishol. One that's a Chacham, one that's a Rasha, one that's a Tam, a simpleton, and one, or a wholesome one, no great Chachmas to him, and certainly not a Rasha, and one Shein Yodei Lishol. One doesn't even know what to ask. Doesn't know what to ask. Some people say doesn't know how to ask, doesn't know what to ask. Right? The Rav Soloveitchik said, if we were to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu here in the preface to introducing these four sons, he says, maybe the Rasha wouldn't be comfortable. He said, refer to Hashem as HaMakom, as the place, because Hashem embraces everyone. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shein Yodei Lishol. Rav Soloveitchik says, the Rasha, he might not be comfortable with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He might not be comfortable with the concept of a sanctified life. So therefore, at this point, when we talk about Hashem embracing everyone, we just talk about Hashem as the place. That even the Rasha can find his place with Hashem. Even the Rasha can find his place with Hashem. And what an important lesson for Seder night, of course. Because we're saying, Kol dichven yesev yechol, anyone who wants, come in and eat. The invitation is open to anyone. Not only our friends, not only people that we know. To all Jews. Although, Rabbi Yaakov Emden disagrees. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, Kol dichven yesev yechol, actually is an invitation to non-Jews. It's an invitation to non-Jews, which is a fascinating thing. At this point you can. Why? Because what's the problem of inviting a non-Jew, not to the Seder, to any Yontif meal? Is you're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Yontif. So some say, that's why we dafka invite here, because my cooking is already done. I'm not cooking anything else. So at this point, non-Jew wants to come in, let the non-Jew come in. I'm not going to cook extra for the non-Jew. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, Kol dichven yesev yechol, or non-Jews, Kol ditrich yesev yitzach, anyone who needs, come and have Pesach, is an invitation to Jews, of course. But Rav Salvechik has a different pshat that fits in with the embracing theme. He says, Kol dichven yesev yechol is talking to people who need food, talking to people who are impoverished. You know what Kol ditrich yesev yitzach means? Anyone who needs companionship. Anyone who needs to feel friendship. You don't want any Jew to be alone on Seder night. Do you realize what a powerful idea that is from the Rav? That on Seder night, and why is it Seder night? Because what's this night? We've said so often from Rav Shimshon Pinkus that Seder night is the night of the birth of the Jewish people. It's a night when the Jewish people came into existence. You know what it means to be a member of the Jewish people? It means to be open to every other member of the Jewish people. That's what it means to be a Jewish person. That's what it means to be a Jewish person, to make every Jew feel embraced, feel welcomed. You know, it's always a struggle that I have in Shul, because I make Kiddush, and then very often I have a lot of people that wait to talk to me. And like, I have lengthy conversations. I've always wanted to tell people, excuse me, I just want to go around and say good Shabbos to everyone in the social hall. I want to just go around to say, but people wait to talk to me. Like, I asked Leah many times, maybe I should just do that. Maybe I should just tell people, you know what, I'm sorry, here's my, you know my cell phone, my email's right here on the bulletin, let's get an appointment, let's sit down and schmooze. I just want to say good Shabbos to every Jew. Like, people think it's like this thing, we have to be warm, and, you know, it's about optics, about being... No, it's not. It's not. It's about being a Jew. Being a Jew means that there shouldn't be another Jew who feels that you don't care about him. That's what it means to be a Jew. That's what it means to be a Jew. That's why Mrs. Molly Katz, Aleha Shalom, who just passed away, she used to sit, for those that remember her, she used to sit by her house in Milltown Road. Any person would go by, would say hello, and she'd ask people straight, are you Jewish? You know, and her son said, because if they said yes, didn't matter what they looked like, didn't matter. She, every time she would engage them in conversation, if they weren't Jewish, she's like, oh, okay, have a good day. I just let them go by, you know? I mean, you know, obviously, as a Holocaust survivor, spent years in Siberia, lost her mother to it, you know, obviously a very, very special and deep person. But her son said how she cherished every Jew that would walk by. And there are a lot of Jews in Springfield. A lot of Jews. Yeah. And she just loved all of them. She would just have a conversation starter with every one of these Jews. You know? And that's, you know, and Sharon, your grandmother, she told me, Bobby Pirak, you should live and be well, have a lot of nachas. When they were in the DP camp, she told your grandfather, I'm moving to Israel. And she said, I just want to live amongst my own. That's what she said. That she told me, Rabbi, I didn't want to be with Goyim. I just wanted to be with Yidden. You know? And we understand how precious another Jew is. This is one of the greatest hachanas for Seder night. One of the greatest hachanas for Seder night is, you know what? As we say in davening, I don't even have my siddur here, but as we say in davening, if it wasn't a bar mitzvah, I was thinking about talking about this past Shabbos. In Birchas HaChodesh, we say, Misha Asim Nisim Lavasenu, Hu Yigalo Sanu Me'avdas L'cheiros, No, Hu Yigalo Sanu Bekarov, V'Kavetz Nidachenu Me'arba Kanfos Aretz. What are the next words? Chaverim Kol Yisrael. We talk about Hashem doing Nisim for us, doing nisim for our ancestors, Hashem taking us out of Geul, of Galus, how is it going to happen? Chaverim Kol Yisrael. Chaverim Kol Yisrael. Chaverim, and as Rav Moshe Wolfson, so many other tzaddikim put, Chaverim is Lashon Chibur, of course. Lashon Chibur. That we're all connected. We're all connected. And, you know, I spoke about this in one of the high schools I spoke at, the other day. And I told them, I said, you know, it frustrates me so much when I hear students saying, oh, we're not like that school. They're crazy Haredi, those right-wingers. And we're not that school, that co-ed school. They're not really religious, you know? And I say to them what I always say from Rabbi Riskin, the takeoff of the guy driving 5 miles faster than you is a lunatic, 5 miles slower than you is a toad and is a turtle and going to call his accidents. Someone who davens Shmoneh Esrei a minute longer than you is a religious fanatic. A minute less than you is a... You know,
not religious,
like that's why I always tell my son who plays sports against other schools, I say, you don't go bad-mouthing any other schools. You might not like how they play hockey. You can argue with them on that, and you can want to take it out on them. But to bad-mouth a whole institution some people here went to, that was a hockey game they had, a team that, school that everyone says they hate, you know, they're so frustrated against that school. You can't talk against them, chas v'sholem. These are holy Jews. You know, how do we talk about them? Chaveirim kol Yisrael. That's what Rav Salvechik says, kol ditrach yisev yifsach is. There's some people that just need friends. They just need people to say to them, good Shabbos, good Yontif, how are you? And this is what the Ribono Shalom wants. And this is what freedom is. This is what it is to be free. Not to be shackled by how people look. Not to be shackled even by people's level of religious observance. Be free. Be a Yid. A Yid is someone who embraces everyone else. All of the Yidden. There's Avos, of course, there's Avos HaBrios in the broader sense. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden speaks about, of kol dichven yesev yechel, any hungry person can come in and eat. And in fact, as we say, that taka is the idea of the Gemara in Maseches Gittin, that there's an obligation to support Aniyei Akum. There's an obligation to support the poor non-Jews in Springfield. You have such an obligation. It's a halachic obligation. So, of course, it's Avos HaBrios, but it starts with our mishpacha. It starts in the mishpacha's Klal Yisrael, and this is the night we're being born together. The shared fate, the shared destiny of every member of Am Yisrael. And this is what Kol Ditzrach Yesev Yifsach is. Again, connected to the idea of Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, that we refer to Hashem as HaMakom, because we want everyone to be comfortable. We want the Rasha, and so often... You know, we paint the Russia in such a light net. No. We want the Russia to be comfortable. We want the Russia to understand that Hashem is embracing him. Hashem is bringing him close. And halavai, halavai, we could all learn this lesson of Seder night, this lesson of what it is to be a Jew. And in fact, Rav Meilich Biederman points out in his Dvar Torah this week that when you look in the halachos of Pesach, it talks about shol and v'darshan behilchas haPesach. You have to learn 30 days before. You have to learn halachos. And then he talks about, and you have to have maschitin. And then the mechaber continues on with other halachos. And Rav Meilich Biederman says, why is the Shulchan Aruch, why does Rama put his common punct right there? To show us that part of our achanas of Pesach is making sure that we take care of people that don't have. In fact, my brother points out in his Haggadah that the Gra says there's a special halachic obligation by Pesach to make sure, kol dichven yesev yechel, anyone who needs food has food, kol ditzrach yesev yifsach, and we know it's such an expensive yontif. Is there any yontif as expensive as Pesach? No. Trust me. The Chared Matzahs went up even more this year. I look at how much I'm paying for a pound of matzahs. It's wild. It's wild. A pound of matzahs from the factory, you pay $33. $33. It's like unbelievable, right? It's worth it. It's worth it. If you never had chared matzahs, it's worth it. Go out and get a pound of charedim. You'll never malign eating matzah again. It's mamish, it's unbelievable. It's so easy to eat. Baruch Hashem. It's worth it. It's worth to spend the money, but it's expensive. It's expensive, this yantif. But the Gros says the obligation of Maos Chitin isn't just based upon the fact that it's very expensive and we have to take care of Aniyim by all mitzvahs, by all Yom Tovim, as the Rambam writes. But rather, he says, Mamash, it's a pasuk. It's two psukim in the Torah. In the end of Parshas Bo, one of the parshios that are actually in the Tefillin, Kaddish Li, called the Char, we say in it, in Pasuk Vav, it says, Shivas Yomim Tochal Matzos, Uvyom Hashvi Chag L'Hashem, 7 days you eat matzos. And the seventh day is also a holiday to Hashem, meaning the seventh day is Isser Malacha. The next Pasuk says, Matzos Yechele Shivas HaYomim, V'lo Yer L'cha Chamitz, V'lo Yer L'cha Sa'ar B'chol Gvulecha. Matzos should be eaten for 7 days, and there should be no Chamitz and no Sa'ar in all of your boundaries. I understand. Eat matzah 7 days? Matzah should be eaten for 7 days. That's very strange. So do you know what the Gros says it means? It says, matzah yechol shivas yom tochal matzahs. You know what that means? That means you have an obligation to eat matzah for 7 days. We know it's famous Shitas HaGra that he holds when you eat matzah on any day of Pesach. You make a special bracha on matzah. No, he holds that there's a special kiyum ha-mitzvah from here. You don't take bracha, and that's a shayla, why not? Why isn't it like a sukkah? But he holds it's mamash a kiyum mitzvah da'araisa, not only on Seder night, but any time you eat matzah during Yom Tov. But the shivas yomim tochal matzos yechel shivas yomim is the obligation that you have to do what? To make sure other Jews have matzah. That's what it is, the Gros says. That's why the pasuk repeats it. You have an obligation to make sure that other Jews have matzahs on this yantif. Right? That's why the Rebbe was very into sending matzahs all over. We think the Blubavitcher send it over as a fundraising ploy. And it might be a fundraiser if you get a batz of matzahs from rabbinical college, whatever it is. Right? But they sell their matzahs very, very cheap. Why? Because the Rebbe wanted everyone to have matzahs. How can another Jew not have matzahs? So that's what it is, that our Pesach, we're about to go into our Pesach, we have to show the Ribbono Shel Eibishter, where anyone who wants can come join us. We're fulfilling our obligation to do what? To make sure everyone else has matzahs. To make sure everyone else has this opportunity. Again, I don't know who, whatever, if you know someone, of course, you should let me know. We have to make sure people have matzahs. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. But we can't forget the second part of Kol Ditzur Yisei Visach of the Rav, that what we're talking about here is friendship. Anyone who needs to share Pesach with someone, anyone who's just alone, anyone who needs a friend, right? And that's why Kol Dichvin Yisei V'Yechel, as many say, as we pointed out many times, with Karpas being the Ksonis Pasim, that right after Karpas, Yachatz, we break, you know, to show that a Jew feels the pain of another. And the very beginning of Maggid is to show this idea, this tikkun also, the chayt of the brothers, that we're embracing all Jews. That we're embracing all Jews. Kol Disrich. And how do we end? Hashata hacha l'shana haba ba'arid di Yisrael, hashata avde l'shana haba b'nei Chorin. My brother points out, the beginning of Halach Ma'anya is the past. The center of Halach Ma'anya is the present. In the present, anyone who wants, come and eat. Anyone's hungry, come and eat. Anyone who needs, come and make Pesach. And the end, we end Halach Ma'anya with the Jewish future. What's the Jewish future? It's not just the center Yeshiva University, but the Jewish future is Ha Shata Hacha L'Shana Haba Barad Yisrael. Now we're here. Next year, we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Ha Shata Avdei. Now we're slaves. L'Shana Haba B'nei Choron. You know why? Because as long as we're not in Eretz Yisrael, as long as they're Jews and Galus, we're not free. We're not free. Even the Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael, even your brother, Dayan, when he's having his Seder, right, in Mitzpe Yericho, he has to say, Hashata Avdei, now I'm a slave. Hashata Hacha, here, now we're here, L'shana Abba Arad Yisrael. Why? Because as long as Jews are in Galus, we're Avadim. Next year it's B'nei Chorin. If we understand the lessons of the past, and we do what we have to do in the present. The lessons of the past, lachem shonu alav dorim harbe, we know what we have to speak about, we have to know the genus, we have to know that life is fraught with difficulties, and struggles, but we have to know, we have to have the optimism, we have to have the hope of what Seder night presents to us. That's why it's Maschil Beginos Masayim B'Shvach, as we said last week on Parshas HaChodesh, even when we found ourselves Be'eretz Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us mitzvahs, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of constriction, in the land of darkness, Hashem was giving us the ability to recreate ourselves. And Seder night is the greatest transformation. Seder night, as we said last year, right, Ayin Sham, we can walk out of Seder night a different person. A different person. And I hope what we see in Halach Ma'anya, the very beginning of Magid, it's foreshadowing what we're supposed to be coming out from the night with. And some say that's why the beginning of Magid and the end of the Seder are both in Aramaic. It's the bookends of Seder night, and it's supposed to recall Halach Ma'anya. It's supposed to make us remember Halach Ma'anya. That we end with the night understanding, Chag Gadya, many say, is all about Jewish history. It's about the story that hasn't been told yet, the greatest story that needs to be told, the story of Mashiach Tzidkenu, and that there is optimism, there is hope, but we have to go back to the other piece in Aramaic, the Halach Ma'anya, to learn the lesson of where the Jewish people find their hope. And the greatest hope for the Jewish people is knowing that we are the Jewish people, is that we're all part of the Jewish people. So I don't know who wants to join my Shabbos, Good Shabbos committee. I don't know. I mean, I need you to tell people not to talk to me after I make Kiddush. No, I'm joking. That was a joke. Lisa, that was a joke. That was a joke. Don't worry. The Chas V'Shalom, anyone who needs to talk to me after Kiddush, they can talk to me. Oh, he's my friend. We're good friends. You should know, this week, Punkti asked me, he said, Rabbi, what's going on? Right when I walked in, what's going on this week? I said, why? He goes, there are a lot of different faces here. Is there something going on? I don't, because Mamish, he studies everyone's face. He knows all of you by face. Even you, Diane. He knows you by face. The security guard. I'm sure he recognized you, but he knew this week that something was different. No, but how important it is to make everyone feel welcome. Exactly, Cheryl. To make everyone feel welcome, to embrace everyone. And it's hard, because I know we don't like everyone. You don't have to like everyone. But you have to be open to say good Shabbos to everyone. There shouldn't be a person, Chas V'Shalom, that we can't walk up to say good Shabbos. Look, I know there are people that don't like me. Even to those people, I try and walk up and say good Shabbos. How are you? You know, sometimes I get answered, sometimes I don't get answered. But you know what? You know what? Chaverim kol Yisrael misha osan nisim lavoseinu v'gal osan mi'avdas l'chiris hu yigal osan b'karuv. Mamish, that's what it is. Chaverim kol Yisrael is how we're going to have nisim in the flows. How a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be mekabitz me'arba kanfos aretz. And that's all in Halach Ma'anya. The blueprint for the whole Seder is in Halach Ma'anya. So Hashem should just help us all that when we start off with Magid, we have our kavanas. We offer up a silent, not a silent. We should offer up a verbal tefillah to Hashem before we begin Magid. That Hashem, I'm about to start Magid. Open up my mind. Open up my heart. Open up my mouth to think about you, to speak about you, to feel connected to you. That I should think also about other Jews. That I should speak to other Jews, and that my heart should be open to other Jews. And if so, if we make our achanas properly. L'shana zo be'eretz Yisrael. I believe it. Achak yelo b'chol yom sheyavo. Any day Mashiach could come. Any day. As one of my Talmidim told me today, one of the seniors I was teaching in the boys' school said, Rebbe, you know, another raya Mashiach can come now is because one of the Marmakomo says, Gemara, that Mashiach will be recognized in the whole world within a few minutes. I don't know where the Gemara is. I assume it's in Chelek, but if Talmud is telling me it's a Gemara, I'm assuming it's a Gemara. He said, Rebbe, don't you say Mashiach can just tweet, I'm here. He can open a Twitter account and the tweet, I'm here. And within seconds, the whole world will know he's here. So it's a Raya. Raya, Mashiach's very close. But Achak Elo B'chol Yom Sheyavo, Hashem should just help us all that we can be open to other Jews, all Jews. We can be open to Hashem. And we can be open to ourselves. And be'ezras Hashem, l'shana zu, ba'arad Yisrael. This year, be'ezras Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael. Amen. Ken yiratzon.